new in the series. I think it's so important for us to step back, and this is what I really felt impressed by the Lord do. And I'm still going to, I'll go back to one of the epistles or whatever and go verse by verse. I love teaching verse by verse, so we'll go back there. But I just felt like this was a season where the Lord really wanted us just to focus on Him, to just focus on Him. And like I had said, you know, we can understand perfect theology, we can understand doctrine, all of which are really important. We have to have a really solid foundation in theology and doctrine. However, some people can get so caught up in that they forget Jesus, right? And they can explain righteousness and they can explain all these wonderful things, but they forget that it's all about Him. and that was Jesus's correction in Revelation when He came to John. He said, listen, if Ephesus is doing great, right? But they've left their first love. And we want to be people of first love. We want to be people who love Jesus really well. And if we love Jesus really well, guess what? We'll love each other really well. Right? And we'll walk in this world demonstrating Him, because not because we have perfect doctrine and theology, but because we love Him well. And let me tell you, there are people out there who love really well and represent Jesus really well and don't have perfect doctrine and theology. And they impact people, right? And they touch people. It's not about that. That's important. I'm not saying it's unimportant, but what is most important is for us to know Jesus, to know Him, right? And I had talked about in Matthew 26, right, where the woman who comes before Jesus and she breaks the alabaster flask, right, and she anoints Him with oil. And Jesus says, listen, wherever this gospel is preached, it's going to be a testimony to her. It's going to be in memory. What's going to be said in memory of her is that she took all that she valued most and she broke it and laid it at Jesus' feet. And right after that, Judas sells Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. We don't want to be, and again, I'm not talking about us ever giving up Jesus, right? But we don't want to be people who are motivated by 30 pieces of silver and give up Jesus. We want to be people who take everything that we have and put it at His feet, right? All of our alabaster flasks, and we put it at His feet. You know, it's important to learn about worship and learn about prayer and learn about fasting and learn about all those things. It's really important, right? But we can learn all those methods and not know Jesus. And if we worship, if we get to know Him, prayer and worship and fasting will all just erupt. Yes. Because you just see how beautiful He is, and I'm willing to go without a meal. Worship just rises up because the Spirit is inside of us, and it knows how to worship Jesus. We just need to get out of the way. It just need to get out of the way. Amen? Yes. Amen. So last week I talked about Jesus as God, right? And we talked about the fact that the Trinity is three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so the Son, Jesus, came down into a human form. And He's no less God because He left the Trinity, right? Because He didn't leave the Trinity, right? But we, our finite minds have to think about it this way. But Jesus was no less God. Jesus is uncreated. He's always existed. He always will exist. And so that infiniteness came into a little baby form, which is amazing to think of, right? But infinite God came into a human form just so He could redeem mankind, right? So He's the creator of all, and He came into His creation. He's eternal. He referred to Himself as the Son of God. He referred to Himself as being able to forgive sins. Only God can forgive sins, right? He resurrected from the dead because He's God, and death can't hold Him, right? His body died, right? But Jesus is eternal, right? So He died and he rose from the dead, and then He gives us His life. He gives us the Zoe life of God. And that, so, and only God can do that. Only God can, who created each one of us, can restore us back to who we were always created to be. Only God can undo the damage that the world did and restore us back and allow us to move forward clean and clear of all that has happened to us and restore us back to who we were created to be. And if you think about it, even Jesus, right? He's on the cross and He's becoming sin. And He had to have enough faith to know that God could cleanse Him and restore Him back to the purity he was before he became sin. He had to have faith in God. And if that can happen to Jesus, it was a demonstration of what He can do for us. Right? Because He was restored. He's not up in heaven damaged or with scars. I mean, He has scars on His hands and His feet, but He's not there's no, there, all the sin that he became has no, it doesn't exist anymore. Right? So for us, all the sin that we were has been left in the grave. Amen. And just like Jesus is pure, righteous, and holy before God, even though he became sin, so we are pure, righteous, and holy because we were sin, but now we're righteous. And so only God can do that. Only God can do that. And remember, he revealed himself to John, too. John, who saw him as a human being, saw him transfigured, saw him beaten and hang on a cross, saw him resurrected in his resurrected form. But then John sees him on the Isle of Patmos, right? And it's the glorified Christ. And what's important to know is all of those are the same person. The person who hung on the cross, the person who went in the grave, the person who sat there and ate food with them, the person that was transfigured, is all the same person. He's Jesus. He always has been. He always will be. Praise God. Praise God. And so our faith comes from knowing Jesus as God. That's where our faith comes. It really gets anchored, right? So today, like I said, I want to speak about Jesus as King. And I love this topic because we're going to first to do this to understand this well. I want to start off talking about the kingdom. When Randy and I were in Bible college, I would say we had wonderful classes, but one of our most favorite classes, and I think the thing that impacted me in a really tremendous way, was a class that we took on the kingdom of God. Because until we understand the kingdom, you can't really understand Jesus and what he's done for us. Because it's all, as I always say, right, if you've been here any length of time, you've heard me say, Christianity is not a religion. It's the reality of the kingdom of God here on this earth. And until we understand the reality of the kingdom and him as the king and what he's taken us out of and brought us into and why our life is different, until we understand that's all in the context of the kingdom, it's hard to understand Christianity, our walk. Okay, so kingdom is really, really foundational. And of course, Jesus is a king. So the word kingdom means dominion or a rule. That's the Hebrew meaning, right? Means to reign or rule. The Greek meaning is sovereignty, royal power, and dominion. So very similar. Now, if you remember, right, Genesis 1:26, it says, God said, let us, God's an us, right, make man in our image, in according to our likeness, let them have dominion. Well, that word dominion is a word that's used to describe the kingdom. This word dominion means to rule, dominion, take, prevail, reign, and ruler. So it's the same, very similar definition to the word. They're not the same word, but it's similar definition, similar in concept, right? And so he says to take dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, or over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Now, I know a lot of you already know this, but please don't check out on me and say, I already know this, right? Because God can always take us deeper in revelation. The minute we say, I already know, you stop the Holy Spirit from being able to take us deeper. So we know, okay? So man was given dominion over the earth, and man's job, so to speak, his task that God gave him was to rule and reign, and the little Garden of Eden was supposed to expand, right, until mankind, in God's image and likeness, took over the whole earth, right? That was the plan God had. A lot of times we don't go according to his plan, but he had a plan. But we know what Adam and Eve, right, ate the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And at that point, the dominion that God had given mankind, humanity, right, was given over to Satan. And we took on Satan's nature, right, and we gave him dominion. We gave our dominion over to him. However, God had a plan. Praise God for his plans, right? So it talks about the fact that God was going to come back and reestablish his kingdom here on this earth. It talks about it in Daniel 2:44. Daniel prophesied, in the days of these kings, the kings, the God of heaven, will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. So when God's plan was short-circuited, right, the enemy had dominion, and so he set up kingdoms on this earth. Okay? He had areas of dominion. He set up kingdoms. But God's king, God, Daniel prophesied, God's gonna come, he's gonna crush all these kingdoms and he's going to set up his kingdom. It says in Psalm 45:6, your throne, O God, is forever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. So godliness and righteousness, holy and purity is what the kingdom of God represents. The kingdom of Satan or fallen mankind is ungodliness. And if, I mean, you can see that by looking at the world today, right? So I'm going to go towards the end of the story. We know that, so Jesus comes, right? Jesus comes, we know he's born, and he's a king. And he talks about that in John 18. So I'm going towards the end, just before Jesus is crucified. He has this conversation with Pilate. Are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. But Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. So for what cause has he come? He's come as the king of the kingdom of God, and he's come to testify as to the truth of what? Of who God really is, of whom, what mankind is created for, our image and likeness, the goodness of God. So he's come to testify, to tear the veil, so to speak, and show people who God really is. He's come. He's come, and he's the king of that kingdom. This is just so beautiful. This is so beautiful that a king would leave his throne, he would leave his heavenly abode and come in the form of a baby, right? To first of all, just demonstrate to people who he really is. Who the beauty and character of who he is. This is just beautiful. It's just beautiful. So if we go back to the beginning after Jesus, so Jesus is declared, right? He's king. This is why he came. He came to testify to the truth. And people who are of the truth, in other words, those of us who were meant to be in the kingdom of God, we're going to hear this truth. And something in us resonates, right? Something in us says, this is truth. This is truth. And we come to him, our king, our king. So now we go back to when Jesus is at the River Jordan, right? And he's baptized by John, and the Holy Spirit descends upon him, and he goes out into the wilderness. The Holy Spirit leads him out into the wilderness. And in Matthew 4, he has three temptations. We're going to talk about the third temptation. It says the devil, Matthew 4, again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. This is the place that the enemy has taken dominion, right? And their glory. There is a glory to the world of this world. It's not God's glory, but there's a glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Again, it's important to recognize that Jesus didn't say, when the Satan said to him, listen, all these kingdoms of this world I'll give you if you bow down and worship me, Jesus didn't say to him, oh, you don't have authority over those. He didn't challenge what Satan was saying. He didn't say that, so he was acknowledging that Satan had dominion over those kingdoms. But he wasn't going to get them by worshiping Satan. Not that Satan would have given to him anyway, right? Right. He's a liar, right? But Jesus was going to get it through God's plan, okay? That's where he was going to take dominion. And it was crucial that God come in the form of man, because God cannot violate his word, and he had given dominion to mankind. So a man had to take the dominion back. So God had to come in a man. He was limited by his own word. He was limited by his own word. So let me just talk about what does kingdom mean. This word is used especially of the kingdom of God and of Christ. The kingdom of God is the sphere of God's rule. Okay? Since, however, this earth is the scene of universal rebellion against God, the kingdom of God is the sphere in which at any given time his rule is acknowledged. So for example, right now, right? We have come together. We're people who have given our lives to Christ, so we acknowledge his rule. Therefore, the kingdom is present. The kingdom is in us. When we come together as a group, right? Right here, we've all acknowledged Jesus as our king. We just sung a bunch of songs about that, acknowledging him as king. What are we doing at that point? The kingdom is ruling. The kingdom is here, right? Because we are acknowledging his rule, his sphere. And so this is the kingdom is present. So everywhere we go, we bring the kingdom because we've given our lives to Christ. And when we start operating in the kingdom truths, the kingdom is present, okay? So God has not relinquished his sovereignty on earth in the face of rebellion, demonic and human, but has declared his purpose to establish it. And that's the scripture I wrote in Daniel, right, 2:44. See here. So it says here, meantime, seeking willing obedience, he gave his law to Israel and appointed kings to administer his kingdom over it. So God, again, he's always trying to demonstrate to the world who he is. And he can only do that through people, right? And so what he tried to do with Israel is set a group of people apart that would allow him to rule. He gave them the law, right? And he gave them kings because they asked for one. But Israel was intended to be a theocracy, a king who was dependent on listening to God and ruling based on the law and based on God's principles. However, Israel, right, they didn't really cooperate. So Israel, although they declared God as their king, it was very nominal, right? And they actually shared in rebellion. And after that, they actually rejected the Son of God, okay? But henceforth, God calls upon people everywhere without distinction. So now it's not exclusively Israel, right? But he calls on all people everywhere to come and without distinction of race or nationality to submit voluntarily to his rule. Amen. Voluntarily. He calls us in, but he asks us to voluntarily submit to his rule. Thus, the kingdom is said to be in a mystery now, that it is, it does not come within the range of natural power of observation, but is spiritually discerned. So when we look at the world, it doesn't look like Jesus is king. Right? But if you know him and you're part of the kingdom, you can see him operating. Right, and you know that he's king, and he's just allowing this thing to play out for a while. But everything is underneath his. He is ruler. He has taken authority. When hereafter God asserts his rule universally, Christ will return to establish his earthly rule. Then the kingdom will be in the glory of the rebuilt Davidic and Messianic kingdom, right? And that is, it will be manifest to all. And we'll talk about that in a little while, but there's going to be a time where that kingdom is going to come, and you're going to see it, and it's going to rule, and it will be the only kingdom. And it's going to be obvious because Jesus is going to be on the throne. And you'll see it not only spiritually, but naturally. You'll see there's going to be a restored kingdom. Amen? Amen. So some other things about the kingdom, right? It's now, and it's present now, but it's also future. It's in the midst of us, right? Wherever the king is, there is the kingdom. It's the heart. It's in the heart of every person who's given their lives to Christ. And it's all present in his churches. Well, hopefully. And those in the kingdom, now this is important, and this is where I say, like, if you don't understand the kingdom, you can't, it's difficult to understand the walk of the Christian walk and what goes on in the world, because here it is, those in the kingdom are brought into conflict with those who have not submitted to his rule. Those in the kingdom are brought into conflict with those who have not submitted to his rule. However, we, as subjects of his kingdom, he's responsible to take care of us. Now, think about it. I want to look at the scripture, Luke chapter 12. Jesus says, I came to send fire on the earth. Now, think about this, because most religions, you know, if you go to Buddhist and Zen and all that stuff, right, the Eastern religions, it all talks about, let's all live in harmony. Let's just love one another. And their spiritual leaders are all about, let's coexist. Let's just get along. What does Jesus say? What does Jesus say? I came to send fire on the earth. And how I wish it were already kindled, but I have a baptism to be baptized with, right? And he's talking about his crucifixion, and how distressed I am till it is accomplished. Do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. For from now on, five in one house will be divided, three against two and two against three. Father will be divided against son and son against father. Mother against daughter and daughter-in-law against mother. Mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Well, Jesus, that doesn't sound very nice. Right? That doesn't sound very nice, but what is he talking about? He's the king of righteousness. We are in a world of darkness. And so he's bringing a kingdom. And in that kingdom is righteousness, right? Holiness, purity. And so when righteousness, holiness, and purity shows up, darkness isn't very happy about that, right? And darkness snarls, and darkness gets confronted, and darkness runs away. And so when he comes, you know, when we were in Bible college, we would send letters out to people because we were going to do a prayer walk, and they would send in like prayer requests. And people would say, you know, I pray for peace on earth. And I would say, there's not going to be peace on earth until this thing destroyed and Jesus comes back and recreates it. He came. Now, does he come for peace and unity? And within his peace is in his body. Right, peace is peace. There's no peace in this world. Peace is in his kingdom. So he's a peaceful God. He's a unified God. He loves people, but it's not going to happen until people come into the kingdom of God. The two kingdoms are here and they're clashing. And for right now, that's the way it's just going to be. But if you don't understand, if you don't understand Jesus is a king and he's representing a kingdom and he's offering another choice besides the world for people to come into, then you're going to, you look and say, well, that's not a very good spiritual leader. No, he's inviting people into truth. He's inviting people into purity, into holiness, into righteousness. And that is his kingdom. And again, it clashes with darkness. Jesus does not coexist. He doesn't coexist because he loves you. And he doesn't want people caught in deception. And to be in another spiritual path besides Christ, there is only one way to God. And he loves people so much that he will not come into agreement with other spiritual paths and make partners with other leaders. He's not a political leader who's going to suck up to somebody to get their territory. He owns all the territory. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And he loves people so much that he's not going to let them go to hell. He's going to tell them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And that is love. That is love. That is love. That is love. Right? That is love. That's truth, right? You speak the truth in love. Amen. So the only way to get into the kingdom, you can't buy your way, you can't smooth your way in, you can't do enough good deeds to get in. The only way into the kingdom is to be born again. Jesus made that really clear, right? It's not your self-effort, and what he does is when you come into the kingdom, right, he gives you his nature, and his nature leads you out of rebellion and into obedience. Because he's in you, and you were designed to be obedient. You were designed, and it's an obedience that it's an inspired obedience. It's not an obligatory obedience. It's an inspired obedience because you see the beauty of who he is, and you want to follow him, right? And you say to him, you know, I'll make room for you, whatever you want to, whatever you want to. And then he tells you what his want to is, and you're like, help me, Lord, help me, help me, help me, Lord. Right? I know I'm the only one who's had those moments, but... The dangerous prayers, the dangerous prayers. He inspires them, and then you're like, did I just say that out loud? Okay, so what did Jesus tell the disciples to pray? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? So he was all about the kingdom, right? And the thing about, too, is concerning whether or not somebody's in the kingdom, it cannot be observed by whether or not they go to church, right? Because... like, I love this saying, right? Standing in a garage will not make you a car. Right. Yeah. right? So standing in a church doesn't make you a follower of Christ, right? It's an internal thing. It's a transformation that happens on the inside. So you can't say, oh, everybody who goes to church is a disciple of Christ. No, right? Or everybody who does this religious act or that religious act. No, it's an internal thing as to whether or not we've surrendered our life to him, right? And it's demonstrated by righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, because that's the kingdom. That's the kingdom. Okay, so Jesus as the king, right? We have, this is where our security comes in, right? Our faith, I mean, not that these are exclusive of one another, but our faith really goes through the roof when we understand him as God, but our security comes into the place when we know him as king, and the fact that we're in the kingdom, right? Because the world's in chaos, in case you haven't noticed, right? Families are falling apart. Our children are exposed to ungodly, unrighteous things way too early, right? So we have this fallen world that is continuing to proliferate, right? And so we have all this fallenness going on. The worldly leadership, and I'm not talking about, you know, Democrat, Republican, whatever. It's all a mess. It's worldly leadership is a mess. It's a mess. And it's not all of it. There's good people, right, that are in leadership. But a lot of it is just mankind and fallen flesh and fallen nature, right? That's negotiating, and it's just a mess, right? Right. But, right, our security is we have a king. We have a king. And he's responsible to care for us, to take care of us, right? So the kingdom is Jesus. He's called Lord, right? The Lord Jesus Christ. The word Lord means supreme in authority and power. Christ means anointed, and they would anoint the king. He's an anointed Messiah. They'd anoint the priest, right? So he's the anointed king and leader. And if you look at even in the beginning of his ministry, when Jesus first stepped out, the thing he kept saying was the kingdom of God. So Matthew 4:17, from that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Kingdom of heaven is a little bit different than the kingdom of God, only because heaven's talking about a place versus God as a being, but it's still the same concept, okay? So repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Why was it at hand? Because the king is here. The king has shown up. The king has shown up. Matthew 4:23, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. What does gospel mean? Good news. He's preaching the good news of the kingdom. And when the good news of the kingdom is preached, what happens? He heals all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people, because sickness and disease are not part of the kingdom. Amen? Matthew 6:33, he tells them, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Right? So it's not about self-effort. It's not about self-righteousness. We pursue the kingdom of God and the righteousness that he gives us, right? And then all these things are added unto you. So everything we want is in the kingdom. And that's why it's important to understand that we're in a kingdom. We're in a different reality. We're in this world, but we're not of it, right? And it's really important to have this understanding. Luke 4:43, Jesus said, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities, because for this purpose I have been sent. He was, I'm a king, and I was sent to tell people about the kingdom of God. That's my purpose. So if you look at even the disciples over and over again, when he sent them out, he didn't say, go tell them about me. He said, go tell them about the kingdom of God. Right? He said, Luke 9:2. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and heal the sick. So it wasn't all about him, although I'm sure they told him about him. There's this really awesome guy coming, right? But they were supposed to tell them about the reality of that the kingdom of God is here. And Israel was like, had a mindset of a Messiah coming who was a king that was going to lead them, right? Of course, they were expecting a natural king, but they were expecting a king. And so they were telling him, listen, there's the kingdom of God's here. The kingdom of God's here. The kingdom of God's here. So Jesus came, and the kingdom was established on this earth because he came. He came, and through his death, burial, and resurrection, he established the kingdom here on earth. People a lot of times like try to learn the principles of the kingdom, which is important to understand. But again, you don't want to understand those outside of him, because ultimately what Jesus wants is our heart. Because if we have his heart, we have everything. If he has our heart, he has everything. He has all of us, right? So what is it? It's important for us to understand that we have, what does he operate as our king? Well, as our king, we're not used to this because we have people in leadership that we vote in and vote out. They have approval ratings. Right? And Jesus isn't pursuing an approval rating, right? And we don't vote him in and out, but we have a king, and we are called, right, to operate in this world and to honor our government. We're supposed to be law-abiding citizens and all of those things, except ultimately our allegiance is to our king. And when there becomes a conflict between what this world or what a government is requiring and what our king requires, we bow to our king, right? And so that's ultimately what we answer to him. And all governments, whether they know it or not, they're under him, right? Psalm 103:19 says, "The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all." Isaiah 66:1, the Lord says, "Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool." So as big as you may believe you are running a country, you're still on Jesus' footstool, right? In Acts, I don't have the scripture in there, but in Acts, you can remember Peter and John saying, we ought to obey God rather than men, when they were told that they had to stop preaching. No, we will preach the gospel, right? We will preach whether we have permission or don't have permission. We will preach the gospel. It's great that we have free speech here, sort of. So we preach the gospel. But even if we lost free speech, guess what? We would still preach the gospel, right? It doesn't. It's great that we have that. But we need to understand, if they take that away, that doesn't shut our mouths. We still preach the gospel. Amen? So Jesus told us, John 16:33, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." That's where our peace comes, in the fact that we're members of the kingdom and Jesus is our king. And as challenging as things may look, he's got it under control. Ultimately, people are going to make their choices, right? But he is the ultimate chess player. No one checkmates Jesus. Okay, no one checkmates God. So in the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome. That word overcome means subdued and conquered. I have subdued and conquered the world. And we need to understand, like, if we follow the world, we're going to get world results. If we follow Jesus and God, right, our king, we'll get kingdom results, right? Which is love, joy, peace, right? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So his kingdom is the opposite of the world system. And we talked about that when he was in front of Pilate. He said, listen, my kingdom is not of this world. So this is why we see so many different things, right? The kingdom of God is all about love. Now, the world will say they're about love, but they're really about hate, right? And the world will always find reasons for division. We're in the kingdom. In the kingdom, we're not supposed to have division. I know we do, but we're not supposed to have division, right? There's supposed to be a unity, an underlying unity in the kingdom. Right, that's right. In the world, it's all about selfishness, yes. Right? But the kingdom is selfless. You know, in the world, it's who is the highest. And Jesus says in the kingdom, it's the lowest that's the highest. So it's the opposite. In the kingdom, there's abundance. In the world, there's lack. In the kingdom, we are to give to receive. In the world, it's all about hoarding your possessions, right? In the kingdom, it doesn't matter how rich you are, how poor you are, what your social status is, your number of followers on Facebook or Twitter, any of those things doesn't matter. Like, we stand before God all completely equal, right? So the kingdom is all about, we're all equal before him. We're all equal. But in the world, there's much, much, much difference. In the world, you know, if you give away, you want to have all kinds of notoriety, right? A plaque on a wall, a wing in a building, you know, all this. You know, let me show you what I did again on all the social media. But Jesus taught, listen, I want you to do your charitable deeds in secret. Like, don't even let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Because if you get glory from the world, you're done. There's no glory from God because you got all your accolades from man, right? In the kingdom, you lose your life to gain it. Yeah. And you know, it's just, that's so opposite. But man, you know, the more you give to Jesus, the more that you die to this world, the more life you have, right? His death brought life. Death in the kingdom brings life. It brings life, right? In the world, it's make the most out of yourself and for yourself. And the world believes in sickness, right? And that's just a natural part of life. The kingdom believes in health. In the world, you have, if you get tired of your spouse, just get a new one. Right? But in the kingdom, marriage is a covenant. And I know people have gone through divorce, and I know that there's challenges, and so I'm not speaking against that. I understand that. But ideally, Jesus is like, this is a covenant, and you work through your differences, right? Because it's a covenant. It's a covenant. And that was his intention all along. And in the world, that fetus, well, if it's inconveniencing you, just get rid of it, right? It's just a blob of cells. But in the kingdom, no, that's a life that God has ordained, and we want to protect that life. So we're very different, and this is why there's a conflict between us and them, because we're in a different kingdom. We have a different ruler, right? We live in truth. We understand life. They don't understand that. And it's really important that we don't lower ourselves to their way of dealing things when there's conflict. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've said this before, like, the enemy doesn't care he cares which side of the issue, but if he can get people into strife and anger and bitterness and accusation and condemnation, he's bringing you into his ways of doing things as opposed to God's way. It's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. So to stand and accuse and throw dirt and mock people who are deceived and caught in deception is not God's way, right? So we don't want to take on their tactics. It's not that the end does not justify the means. We have to handle things God's way in the midst of people who oppose truth. We need to do it God's way. Amen? 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 So, of course, Jesus said that he was a king, and this is how different he is as a king, right? So he stood before Pilate, and Pilate asks him if he's a king, and he says, I'm a king. But look, there's nothing about the way Jesus looks when he's standing in front of Pilate that says royalty. There's nothing in front of, as Pilate looks at Jesus, there's nothing that says victory. There's nothing that says royalty. He's standing there in tattered rags. He's been beaten beyond recognition. He's wearing a crown of thorns. He's bleeding. The people are asking for his blood, right? He's been spit on. He's been shamed. He's been betrayed. I mean, everything that, you know, could go wrong has gone wrong. And nothing in what Pilate is looking at, it says authority, majesty, rulership, kingly, nothing. Nothing at all. But that's our king. That's our king. I mean, just, you know, if the United States was attacked right now, right? Supposedly, like our leaders, right, would gather troops. And they would send the troops to battle. But the leader, and regardless, the leader stays safe in a building or maybe in a bunker, right? Even safer than everybody else. But not our king, right? He goes to battle for us. He says, listen, this battle is too much for them. I'm going to go for them. This is our king. So he goes and he takes the beating, he takes the bruises, he takes the death in the kingdom of darkness. He comes into the kingdom of darkness to do this, right? This is our king. He takes all of it on him so that we can, you know, we made the bed, but we don't have to sleep in it. Thank you, Jesus. That's so different than the world. Right? That we have a president, and it's any president, right? Go fight the battle, right? We'll pay you. Go fight the battle. Hope it works out for you. We'll give you a award if you do, right? And I'm not saying, I'm not mocking that. I'm just saying that our king, we need to see this is so different. Our ruler is so different. He went to battle for us. Our king fought the battle for us. Our king won the battle for us. He took the full brunt of that so that we could walk in his victory. And then he defends us. I mean, he gives us authority as well, right? But he defends us. He's amazing. He's amazing. And through that sacrifice, he restored mankind's dominion on this earth. So now, where our dominion was dependent on Adam's behavior, right? Now our dominion is anchored in what Christ has already done. Amen. So we can't lose dominion. He's established that dominion, and it's forever. And we walk in that. So this is where our security comes in. We are in a kingdom that will never, it's unshakable. Right? We're in a kingdom that's going to last forever. I mean, God, praise God, praise God. So as far as access to the king, you can, many of us have voted for people. Maybe you've even sent money in for political contributions and voted people in, maybe even worked on somebody's campaign. But how much access do you have to that person who now is in some type of a political position, governmental position? Maybe, even if you got audience with them, you'd have maybe 5 minutes, right? But our king gives equal access to every single one of his constituents forever, 24/7, all at the same time. Wrap your mind around that. And when you're with them, you think you're the only person on the entire planet. And he will stay with you. He is with you 24/7. You might not be aware of that, but he's with you 24/7. And you can go into your room. You can lock your room for 7 days and say, Jesus, I want your full attention for 7 days. It's just you and me. And guess what? He'll never leave. You may wear out, but he's not leaving. And he is so happy to have you there. He's so happy to have you. Even if you fall asleep, he's just there loving you, right? He's just there loving you, right? That's our king. We all have equal access to that. He loves every single one of us equally. There's no one, you know, he gives full access. Now, not all of us take full advantage of the access we have, but we have a free pass, right? It says what does it say? Go, come boldly to the throne room of grace, right? Hebrews 4:16. Come boldly to the throne room of grace and we obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The other thing is like Mark chapter 10. I'm going backwards, Sonia, Amy, sorry. They brought little children to him that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. So even little children have access. That's right, yeah. Not just adults, little children. And how many times politicians want to be in a nice photo op with a little child? Jesus doesn't do it for the photo op. He genuinely loves every one of us. And so he will spend as much time with the little children that are in Kingdom Kids right now as he will spend with us. Because he's that kind of king. He's a really, really, really good king. So as members of the kingdom of God, right, the answer in every situation is always going to be the kingdom. And in that kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And if we're not experiencing those things, it's because we're not meditating or keeping our focus on the kingdom. Because that's the presence of the kingdom is that. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So our king is coming back. Praise God. So Acts chapter 1, right? This is Jesus after he was resurrected. He's standing there with the disciples. And it says, verse 9, when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. He's coming back. Mark 13:26, right? Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Praise God. And 1 Thessalonians, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. He is a king. He rules. He's coming back for us, and then we'll get to go with him. Praise God. And then we'll come back to reestablish his kingdom on this earth, right? He's going to judge. He is going to judge. He's a righteous king, and he has, as a righteous king and one who has dominion and authority over all, he has the ability, the right to judge. And he will judge. Revelation 19 says, I saw heaven opened and behold a white horse, and he who sat on him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness, he judges and makes war. A spiritual leader that makes war? He makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. Hopefully they're all the crowns we've cast down. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on the white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, his truth, right? And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. They're all under his rule. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. God is a righteous God, but there is fierceness and wrath against unholiness, unrighteousness, against sin, right? And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is our king, right? He's fierce, and he's going to come, and he's going to judge. And we praise God we're on the right side of that equation. But we need to bring other people to be in on the right side of that equation as well. That's what he wants us to do. The most precious thing to Jesus is another soul. That's what he still weeps for. He is whole. He is holy. There's nothing missing in Jesus, but his heart still breaks for the lost. He still weeps for the lost, right? And he's given that. He's entrusted that to us to bring the lost into the kingdom. That he's a king, and we're called to follow him, and he will stand before him and be judged as well. Now, this isn't a heaven or hell issue, right? We're already in the kingdom, but as followers of Christ, we're going to give an account for our lives. And this doesn't have to be a terrifying thing, because as we draw closer and closer to him, we will walk out. What does it say in Ephesians, right? He washes us with the water of the word, that he may present to himself a righteous and holy bride. So it's in our relationship with him that he cleans us up. We don't clean ourselves up. We surrender to him, and we come into this relationship with him, and we allow him to love us. We allow him to show us. We allow him to show us what we're called to and who we are. And in that, he inspires us towards the fullness of who we are and what we're called to. So 2 Corinthians says, therefore, if we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. Well, you want to be well-pleasing to him if you love him. Right? For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. But that's a good thing, because if we're following him. 1 Corinthians 3 says, no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work, which he has built on it, endures, he will receive a reward. So all of that is talking about the things that we've done that have genuinely come from our relationship with him and who we are in Christ. That's the gold, right? That's the thing that will never cease. And the other stuff, it burns up. Now, if you look at Abraham in Hebrews 11, it talks about how it was a great man of faith and Sarah was a great woman of faith, but they messed up. But in the presence of Jesus, what that wall just burned up. And what remains? They were a great woman of faith. They were a great man of faith. So this, again, this isn't I can do whatever I want. It's no, I pursue him. And when I pursue him, I'm not working hard at works. It will come naturally as a byproduct of our relationship with him. In Jude, it says, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. It's he who keeps us from stumbling. It's not a bunch of doctrine and theology. It's him who keeps us from stumbling. It's him who washes us with the water of the word. It's him who establishes us in the good works, right? It's our relationship with him, and he is the king. And of course, too, we're going to be in a kingdom where there's no more pain. Praise God. Right? He's gone before us, right? It says that he went to prepare a place for you, and he place for us, and he will come back. And so he's gone to heaven, and he's prepared a place for us. And we are in him, right? But he's prepared a place for us, and eternally we'll live with him. It's really important, I think, to meditate on this sometimes. To just meditate on the fact that we're going to see Christ come back. whether we're here or there, we're going to see that. Can you imagine what that is? Just let your imagination play with that for a little bit. To see what it's like for him, like he said, to come on the white horse, right? With faithful and true and Lord of lords and King of kings. I praise God. We're going to witness that. We're going to live with him forever. And I think it's important to keep that perspective as we go through our day-to-day life, because we can get so caught up in the mundane that we forget. And to keep that eternal perspective is so important. We're part of a kingdom that lasts forever. We are going to be with him forever. He is a good king, and we can be secure in that. Right. We can be secure in that. So just as I just finished up Colossians 1:13, it says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, right? Who is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And I just want to read Psalm 24 to you. Psalm 22, 23, and 24 are all messianic psalms. And 24 is talking about, you know, Jesus's resurrection. And I'm just going to read verses 7 through 10. It says, lift up your heads, O you gates. This is talking to us. We are the gates. We're the gates for the kingdom. We are the gates for the king. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors. We are portals for Christ. Christ operates through us. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. He is the King of glory. So dominion has been reestablished on this earth because Christ came. And so now we have the same commission that Adam had. Be fruitful and multiply. Okay? But what I would say too is, have we cast all of our crowns at his feet? Because sometimes the last king to be dethroned is us from our own kingdom. Right? And it's really, have we really given our lives to him and allowed him to be king in every area? Because we can give up worldly things, but we still tend to stay in control ourselves. And so it's really taking our crowns and casting them before the king. That box of spikenard, right? That precious alabaster box of our lives that we still want to rule. It's like giving that over to him because he's so good. There's nothing, I promise, there's nothing that we give up for Christ that we don't get a thousandfold back. We don't get a thousandfold back because it's just, he can't do anything less than that. He's not capable of it. There's so much that he has for us as we just continue to surrender because he is king. He is king. Amen? Amen. Amen. So if the prayer ministers could come forward. And so I would just, again, just let's just take 5 minutes. I just want us to all sit and just let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Let him minister to your hearts. Any truths that he spoke, any words that came forward, that things that you heard, the things that pricked your hearts, to just sit in the message, sit in his presence. Holy Spirit, just have your way. Breathe on us, Holy Spirit. Just make this kingdom so real to us, Lord. Quicken these truths to our hearts. Quicken these truths to our hearts. And so we have the prayer minister up front. I just encourage you, if you'd come up, whenever the kingdom is preached, right? Healing is present. If the kingdom's here, healing is present. Peace is present. Truth is present. Everything that he has is present. And so it's just, come forward if you need agreement in prayer, whatever it is you need. I just encourage you to come. If there's things you need to surrender, if you have an alabaster box that needs to be broken at the feet of Jesus and you need to surrender, come and let a prayer minister minister to you and come in agreement with you. So Lord, just have your way. We just love you, Lord. Holy Spirit, just have your way. Jesus.